Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to yet another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulaski, and everything sucks. I say yet another because I was just communicating via communique with our friend Joe Hobart. Of the Distraction Podcast, wondering whether or not Shayna had officially entered the Royal Rumble. She wasn't on Raw last night. A lot of people weren't on Raw last night, and we'll talk about that. But we were trying to figure out, because she's not listed on WWE.com as somebody who's declared for the Rumble. And I said, but she did, though, because was it last week or the week before? Who knows, because all these fucking shows run together because they all suck. But Nia Jax cut that weird promo about how here are all my New Year's resolutions, and the last one was to win the Royal Rumble. And then she left, and then Shayna said to the interviewer, that last one she said, that sounds pretty good. I think I'm going to do that one. And then she left. So that seems to me like a declaration of the Rumble. But then again, I don't know if I dreamt that. You know, because it's possible. And it's also very possible that she did say that, and the WWE has decided against that. Maybe she's not going to be in the Rumble because she's going to have a title match versus Asuka. Fingers crossed, but no, I'm sure that won't happen. Asuka's not on the shows anymore. She doesn't exist. They decided to bring Charlotte back, and she's the only woman on Raw that matters. Everybody else is either her partner or fighting her. Nobody else on Raw exists. So we'll talk about that too. But first, the most important thing. Drew McIntyre, WWE champion, tested positive for COVID-19. Before the show last night, we didn't know. We still don't know the circumstances of him getting it. Like, are they doing any kind of contact tracing? Because it feels like, I don't know when he would have tested positive. Like, was it yesterday during the day? Probably, you know, right? Like, he would show up to work and they'd give him a test, one of those quick, like, you find out in 20 minutes things, which it is possible to get a false positive out of those tests. It's also possible to get a false negative out of those tests, which is why those tests aren't 100% reliable, but they're better than nothing, which I suppose is the lowness of the bar we've set for WWE. But I'm assuming he tested positive yesterday. And you're usually contagious a few days after catching it. Apparently, he's asymptomatic. Good for him. That's the best case, obviously. But it does seem weird that he was just a heavy featured player on Legends Night last week, where a bunch of dudes in their 60s and 70s were hanging around, no mask. And he was talking to all of them very close up, you know, where droplets can form. There's definitely no social distancing when these people are having scenes together. You know what I mean? So I don't know if where he might have caught it from, or when he would have had it to begin with. But if he's only getting tested when he shows up to do the tapings of the shows, like for the live, but not known that he had it, and the test didn't come back positive, because again, you can get false negatives. All I'm saying is, like, shouldn't we be more careful? WWE, it's the best case scenario, honestly, that it's a guy who's young, in fantastic shape, has no comorbidities that we know of, and apparently has a very mild case of it, asymptomatic. That's the best case scenario for you guys. Imagine if somebody had shown up and gave it to a bunch of legends who are all old and infirm. And then some of your legends caught it and died on your watch because you brought them in to goose the ratings. Imagine. So what I'm saying is, can we just figure out ways of being more careful? I'm also going to say, like, as a society, but, you know, I suppose, you know, when there's certain members of Congress who are forcibly sheltering in place from a murderous mob of crazed lunatics, and those Congress people are forced to be in the same small space with other Congress people, and one group of Congress people refuses to wear masks even when they are offered to them while they are there, and maybe one of them has the COVID and gives it to three other people in the other group of Congress people. Maybe we should all just be more careful, I'm saying, as a society. Wear your fucking mask. And to Drew's credit, and to WWE's, I'm not going to give them credit for this. Fuck that. The bare fucking minimum they could do is they announced that Drew had it, which is the first time they've actually done that. Other people in WWE have, like, had it, and they're not announcing it. There's not on TV that week. Whoops. So announcing that he's got it, and then having him come out and cut a promo about be safe, wear your mask, follow social distancing guidelines. Yeah, good. Thank you for saying that out loud. That is the bare minimum you could do as a company and as a person who is a role model who now has the disease. Just one of those fucking things, man. I mean, apparently, we don't know if anybody else in WWE tested positive for it, but there were a bunch of people on the Raw roster who did not appear on the show. Apparently, there were a bunch of Raw people on the roster who did not appear on the show, but were perfectly healthy and backstage and could have worked, but they said, no, we'd rather have everybody pull double duties and wrestle two matches in a row. Because a lot of people did that. I'll mention it, but a lot of people did that. A lot of people wrestled two matches in a row because they didn't have other people to be on the show, whether or not they were unavailable for reasons or unavailable because, you know, they got a DNP, a did not play / coach's decision. I don't know. Godspeed to Drew McIntyre. Hopefully it's a speedy and full recovery, and he doesn't have any lingering effects from it. There are reports of people who were asymptomatic, made it through the whole thing. They tested positive, and then, you know, they were fine. They quarantined, then they tested negative, and then 6 months later, they started having trouble breathing, and it wasn't COVID. It was just something else with their lungs or something else with their heart. There's a bunch of, like, college basketball players in the U.S. who had it but were asymptomatic, and now they've got, like, a debilitating heart issue that will follow them for the rest of their lives, and they're like, you know, 19. So that sucks for them. It's a horrible, insidious disease, and we should all be taking it more seriously. End of my TED Talk. Hey, by the way, look what your boy got. Lemonade! It's back. Made this special today. I'm so excited to drink my first swig. Here we go. It is the official beverage of Sour Graps for a reason, and that reason is because it is sour, and it is tasty. So let's talk about Raw, beyond the Drew diagnosis. Triple H shows up, and he's going to save the day with the power of his 5 minutes of slow-paced brawling. Thank God it's 5 minutes of slow-paced brawling and not 45 minutes of slow-paced brawling, but then again, this isn't WrestleMania. We didn't even know we were going to get the brawling. We knew we were going to get the brawling. Trips isn't there to just hang out in his sport coat. But he showed up and was he did not even get a promo started before Randy Orton came out. And then, you know, Randy's like, hey, I know you've been watching me punt old dudes in the head. You want to be next? And Triple H is like, that's good. You done? Are you quite finished trying to intimidate me? You got to do better than that, buddy. I really did appreciate his candor, and just Triple H is an all-time. It really is somehow turned into an all-time great, like simple, straightforward promo. I really think he's very, 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 very good at this. It's one of those things where, like, if Vince had been smart and stepped aside, like, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, and let Triple H be the guy that McMahon was 25 years ago, and then you could have had, like, Triple H have an actual stuff where he'd be in there being the evil guy in charge and stuff, because they're going to run that back. They always do. But, I mean, I think Triple H is getting to a point where he's like, I don't want to do that shit. Wrestle? What? Cage matches? I'm not insane like my father-in-law. But I do appreciate his promo work, especially in this little scene with Orton, where he goes back and forth from, like, praising him for lighting. He's like, you know, I saw you lit the demon clown on fire. I've never been prouder. But I also saw kicked an old drunk in the head, and for that, I could never forgive you. I saw you murdered a man via gasoline and flame, but I also saw that you kicked my friends in the skull. And that is beyond the pale, my good sir. I will not stand for it. Anyway, Orton says, hey, how about we have a you're not a, Orton's not a legend. You're not a legend, Randy. You're nothing but a no good prick. Ooh, he said the P word, and it's not the one you think he was gonna say. Prick. Oh, this is one of those deals where, like, everything, it was a decent promo. You know what I mean? Back and forth, Randy making interesting, like, doing little threats or whatever, and Triple H taking the piss right out of it, alternately praising him and seeing what he's got a problem with. And it was a decent promo between two adults, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to call you a name for a penis. And then, like, you don't even have it in you, do you, old man? I need to find out I need to find out if the game is still alive, if the King of Kings is still in there somewhere. So why don't we have a good old-fashioned fight tonight? And I liked that Triple H went back to earlier in the promo. He said, I don't understand why does it benefit you to kick Ric Flair in the head? What is the benefit to you? So then he says, I want you to fight. I'm like, why would I got to do that? What is the benefit to me to fight you, to give you what you want? No, I'm not going to do it. So he starts to leave. And then Randy does. Maybe you don't want to give me what you want, what I want. Maybe what you actually want, or don't want, or maybe it's the case that actually I noticed that Stephanie's not here. And maybe you're not able to retrieve your balls from her purse. And Trips stops from getting out of the ring, walks back into the ring, takes a second, and then punches Randy Orton in the jaw. Triple H has become Marty McFly. You know, in Back to the Future, it's an old movie, kids. I don't know if you've seen it. In Back to the Future, the hero, Marty McFly, he has to fight somebody when they call him chicken. Like, I don't know what he has against chickens. I've never thought of it this way. Chicken. Hey, you going to fight? I'm not going to fight you. I want to fight you. That's stupid. Chicken. Nobody calls me a chicken. It's a weird thing. It's a weird, like, psychological tick that, like, are you gonna fight me? No, I'm not gonna fight you. You're a coward. Whatever. No skin off my nose. You're a chicken. I will murder you. Like, that doesn't make any sense. That word, unless he's got like a thing for chickens. Like, what's the thing about chickens? Why does he hate chickens so much that he refuses to be associated with them? Does he have an egg allergy? I don't understand why he hates chickens so much. Marty McFly, Michael J. Fox, if you're watching this, please drop me a line. Let me know. My DMs are open. but anyway, that's basically Triple H. It's become a thing. Anytime somebody wants to get under his skin, they just say, like, hey, Triple H, why don't you take your balls out of your wife's purse? And they do the same thing to The Miz, honestly. Like, they talk about, they did that recently, like a month ago, maybe even more recent. Hey, Miz, everybody knows you keep your balls in Maurice's purse. Like, I mean, you guys could figure out other insults, you know? And the weird thing is, like, the definition in WWE of them's fighting words is just emasculation. You, sir, have no gonads. Why then, I shall challenge you to a duel, and then they slap each other with a glove, and then they fight because you have insulted my manhood. It's fucking stupid. Like, one character, maybe two, being like, if you insult my manhood, I'm gonna fight you. It shouldn't work on everybody because not everybody's a thin-skinned douche. I mean, or maybe they're just really insecure. Maybe Trips is very insecure, you know? Like, maybe Triple H, maybe in his heart of hearts, he's really doesn't feel like he's that much of a man. And so he tries to bottle it all up. And then somebody points out that his wife does have a lot of power in this company. And maybe the only reason he's anywhere near the top of WWE is because he decided to marry the boss's daughter. And maybe he's a little insecure about his achievements as a man and as a professional. Maybe he realizes that the only reason that he is where he is because he's firmly attached his balls to the inner lining of Stephanie's purse. And when somebody points it out to him, well, then it's just too much for him to bear. Or it's just lazy writing. One of the two, I'm not sure. Okay. So, when was the last time Asuka defended the Raw Women's Championship? Let's find that out, shall we? I'm going to do that together. We're going to find it together. It's been a while, you know? It's been a very long while. I don't remember the last time she defended the Raw Women's Championship. Let's find out. So, she won it. She won it in August at SummerSlam, I believe. Let's see how many times she's defended it since. Asuka defeats Sasha Banks at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. So then she retained the next night on Raw in the Lumberjill match versus Sasha. And see, then she defeated Mickie James on September 14th. Mickie James is now a legend. So she was on the thing. She beat Zelina Vega a couple times, and that was back to back nights. Clash of Champions, and the Raw following, and then she defeated Lana in 2 minutes and 15 seconds on the October 19th edition of Raw. And then she has not defended the women's title since October 19th, and we are in January 12th. So it's not like it's a recent thing, but they don't have any challengers, apparently, for Asuka on Raw. They had her get in some weird feud where she was mentoring Lana versus Nia and Shayna. And then Lana got taken out with an injury, kayfabe or otherwise. And she had to find a different partner to face Nia and Shayna at TLC. So who'd she find? Her mortal enemy, Charlotte Flair. Don't get me started on that shit. And since then, she has been by far the lesser important of the two tag partners in her tag team. And also, she's the Raw Women's Champion, but she hasn't defended that title since October 19th on Raw when she beat Lana in 2 minutes. And at the end of September, when she defeated Zelina Vega, who's no longer with the company, I'm not, obviously, the circumstances around her release are very intriguing, but again, not with the company anymore. Beat her in back-to-back nights at the end of September, and then beat Mickie James earlier in September. Mickie James, who's now apparently a legend and not actually an active wrestler. So they had her beat Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's title and then effectively retired the title. Like, yeah, she had those matches versus Mickie James, who's no longer an active wrestler, versus Zelina Vega, who's no longer with the title, with the company, and Lana, who was never really an active wrestler to begin with. And Lana is out selling her injuries, I suppose. And she hasn't defended the title since any of those things. So really, in August, here you go, Asuka. We're going to shelve this belt, but you can go ahead and wear it. In the end of December, Asuka and Charlotte become tag champs. They brought Charlotte back and had her team with Asuka become tag champs. And earlier in 2020, they had the tag champs were Bayley and Sasha, and they were double champs. Asuka's a double champ again as well. You do know you can have more than one women's storyline on a show, right? Like, it's, you have the Raw Women's Championship, which you would think like there'd be a whole line of women waiting to get a shot at that title. And you would think that you would use the Raw Women's Championship as like a draw to get people to tune in and watch matches for that title. It's the number one women's title in the company since Raw is still the flagship, right? Maybe SmackDown Women's the title, but she's certainly number two in the company because NXT doesn't fucking matter, right? So what are we doing? My complaint is this. You've basically sidelined both the tag titles, the women's tag titles, and the Raw Women's Championship to do a Charlotte Flair hates her new young stepmom storyline. Because last week, Lacey Evans flirted with Ric Flair. And I gave them too much credit when I thought they were showing Ric as senile, that he thought he was tripping up Lacey Evans, but instead tripped up Charlotte Flair. But apparently, no, he was intentionally tripping his daughter last week because he wanted to get some nasty. He wanted to get a little bit of that nasty on him. Charlotte Flair cuts a promo backstage where she's going to show Lacey Evans what it means to be classy or some bullshit. Charlotte Flair does not work as a babyface. You've tried it. It does not work. Stop trying it. Stop. It does not work for her. But if you're going to get me to root for Charlotte Flair, put her in a feud against Lacey Evans, whom I loathe. Anyway, she says, Charlotte does, my dad is at home, so I don't have to worry about him tonight. I'm going to go out there and beat the hell out of Lacey Evans. So middle of the match versus Lacey Evans, Ric Flair shows up. Because Lacey Evans cuts a promo also that she's like, I didn't flirt with anybody who didn't want to be flirted with, y'all. Charlotte needs to calm down, get a glass of sweet tea, and sit on a porch swing and other Southern stereotypes. This match is for you, sweetie. And she blows the kisses to the camera. Well, kiss my grits. And she, by the way, this is so fucking WWE. This is so WWE. They do the thing. Charlotte has a promo before she goes down to the ring, right? And then she goes down to the ring. And Charlotte goes out, and then they interview Lacey, and she cuts a promo. And then they go to commercial, and they come back from commercial. And the first thing to do the commercial is Drew McIntyre saying, as you know, I've been diagnosed with COVID-19. Like, it's just the most random placement of that very important PSA. Please take COVID-19 seriously. And it's just like, in between the promos setting up the Lacey and Charlotte match and the Charlotte match. It's so weird that they put it there. So they have their dumb match. And of course, Ric Flair shows up in the middle of it. And back from the break, and Flair, Charlotte is beating up Lacey. Rick is obviously rooting for Lacey Evans. Charlotte hits a natural selection on Lacey Evans. And Rick puts her leg, Lacey's leg, on the bottom rope, thus breaking up the pin, alerts the ref. And Charlotte says, gets up after, you know, and she looks at her father and says, "For this hooker? Really? For this hooker?" And I just thought that was great. And I've never liked Charlotte more. I've never liked Charlotte more than when she called Lacey Evans a hooker. That's just, we have so much in common, Charlotte. I appreciate that we both view Lacey Evans as a dirty hooker. So, anyway, so Charlotte goes to suplex Evans in from the apron. Rick at one point says, "I'm not staying home." Like he's been confined to his house because he's got. Well, the thing is that maybe he should have been confined to his house because there's a COVID outbreak around in WWE. Maybe you shouldn't be here, infirm old man. You can't keep me at home. I'm going to go out and do things. And one of the things I'm going to do is Lacey Evans. So he does the deal where they try. He holds Charlotte's foot down so Charlotte can't kick out while Lacey is going in for a pin after like a weird leverage suplex deal. And then he runs off with Lacey Evans, who kisses him on the cheek, and Charlotte's pissed. Asuka's not out there. She's one of the people who was available, but they didn't send her out. Because if you're going to put the tag titles on Asuka and Charlotte, and you're not going to have them feud against each other, why do you need Asuka out there? She's just the Raw Women's Champion. Why does she need anything to do? She doesn't. Why would she? Nah, no. They go to commercial. Lacey Evans and Ric Flair are like strutting down the hallway, and blonde, not Charlie Caruso, is like, "Hey, what happened out there?" Lacey, the only thing they like, Rick's too busy dancing. Woo. And Lacey Evans says, "I think I'll change at the hotel, y'all." Yeah. Oh, sex with a 70-year-old. Oh, I loves me some septuagenarians. Woo. Shoot your blanks into me, Rick. Woohoo! Oh, God, it's disgusting. Oh, God. I just had that vision. And I'm sorry I gave it to you as well. I'm sorry. It's... you know, it's weird, because I complained so hard about the Buddy Murphy and the teenager storyline over on SmackDown. If you thought that was bad, it's like a 40-year age difference between these two. She's gonna Ashley Nicole Simpson? She's gonna kill him in his sleep and get all of his sweet, sweet debt. That's not my joke. That's Botchamania's joke. But that's fucking great. She's gonna inherit all that sweet, sweet debt. So Keith Lee is she's asking Keith Lee what he's, you know, what's he gonna do, like, you know, whatever. Sheamus shows up. He's like, "Hey, I listen, you earned Drew's respect, and if Drew respects you, then I respect you too. Let's blah blah blah." And then the Miz and John Morrison come up, and then they somebody says, "Hey, you ever see the movie Dumb and Dumber?" "Yeah, but I don't know which one's which." "Ha ha, hee hee, oh, comedy." Oh God, it's bad. It's a bad thing. The Miz and Morrison are just bad. And they're bad. They've given them bad things to do and they're bad now. So they challenge Keith Lee and Sheamus to a tag match. Keith Lee accepts. And then, hey, what happened the last time you guys were on a tag team together? Didn't you brogue kick your partner? Oh, how will you ever coexist? By the way, they announced a Jeff Hardy versus Elias match, and I thought they did that like 10 minutes ago on the broadcast. And I thought they it was just like a mistake, like it was something from a title card from a match from 3 weeks ago. No, they're actually going to do it. So Jeff Hardy goes out. Jeff Hardy has been mercifully unpaired with Elias, but you know, it's a crazy time. Only a few people are allowed to be on the show, so let's just do old feuds we already did before. I guess AJ's not allowed to have a match, but he is. Like, he has a match later, but he's been feuding with Elias, and I don't know if that like ever resolved, or was it just like two matches? And it's weird to like have Elias have a match. It's just, I don't know. I don't know. They settled it in a Symphony of Destruction match. It's over. The feud is done. You don't get to reignite this feud that doesn't make any fucking sense, because the only reason it happened is because Elias doesn't believe the truth about stuff. Like, I'm sorry that you believe that Jeff Hardy ran you over with a car, but that's not what happened, canonically. Canonically, it was Sheamus. Go take it up with Sheamus. Everyone, like, that was, it was like a basically a open and shut case. Nobody ever arrested Sheamus for attempted vehicular manslaughter. But he fucking did that shit, according to the way they booked that shit back in, what, May or something? I'm sorry that you believe that Jeff Hardy ran you over with a car, but that's not what happened. You know, I'm sorry that you believe that one guy won an election, but that's not true. I like, listen, you were lied to. I don't know who lied to you, Elias. I don't know who lied to you, vicious mob of miscreants. Well, I do know who lied to you. I do know who lied to you, vicious mob of miscreants. But they lied to you. And I'm sorry you believe that, but that's not what the truth is. I'm sorry you were lied to, but it was a lie. Elias, stop believing the lie. Vicious mob of miscreants, stop believing the lie. And we'll all just, like, won't it be easier to go on and we can all stop fighting? You can stop, you know, with the insurrection. And Elias, you don't have to have matches with Jeff Hardy anymore, which benefits everybody. So all I'm saying is, can't we all just stop believing lies? Oh, God, I need a drink. Oh, okay. So Elias versus Jeff Hardy doesn't actually start the thing, because Elias comes out after Jeff Hardy's out there. He's like, I couldn't possibly have a match with you because I hurt my thumb playing guitar. So Jackson Riker is going to have a match with you. And Jackson Riker doesn't have a match with him because Elias distracts Jeff Hardy, and Jackson Riker, giant, intimidating powerhouse dude who probably would have been at the Capitol last week if he could get a flight. That guy decided not to pick up Jeff Hardy from behind and like choke slam him into the mat. He did a schoolboy. Like, is the only way you can win via distraction is with a schoolboy? couldn't he have done another move to him? You know, and then you could use a leverage pin or something. Like, do a little jackknife pin or something, which is the basically the same idea as a schoolboy. Is that the only way you could do that? Is it? Anyway. Riker gets a roll up and uses the tights for leverage. Elias Lee heads up the ramp with Riker. He gets on a mic. This is going to become a theme. And he says, "Elias, don't tell me about your stupid blister on your finger. Come up here and face me. Let's have a match." It's not your damn finger. I feel like it's you're worried the world will see that Riker is better than you. So Elias says, "Hey, stay out of the match because I'm going to beat Hardy. Don't, whatever you do, don't come down to the ring and help me." And so they go to commercial. So this is the beginning of, like, everybody has two matches. Not everybody. Blissfully, Lacey Evans didn't have two matches. But Jeff Hardy and Elias have a match now because Jeff Hardy already lost to Jackson Riker. It's a Jeff Hardy and Elias match. You've seen 75 of those. Jeff Hardy wins with a Swanton, and then after the match, Riker runs in and checks on Elias. Is like, "Why didn't you come and help out?" And Riker's like, "Because you told me not to." And, you know, fair game. Like, that's, he did tell you not to, but that's not the rules of wrestling, Jackson. Don't you supposed to know? So it's The Miz and John Morrison versus Sheamus and Keith Lee. This is notable only for a couple of things, which is at one point, Keith Lee, right before the commercial, Keith Lee runs in, like, Morrison's standing in the corner, and Keith Lee, like, sprints at him to do, like, the, you know, just like a, not a splash, he just jump, but he just runs into, it's an avalanche kind of a, I don't know, it's not a crossbody because he's upright, you know what I'm talking about. He just runs into him at full speed with his chest. And as he does that, the top turnbuckle pops off the top, the ring post. And Keith Lee does a really good job of selling like he was surprised that it happened. But they go right to commercial, and when they come back, the turnbuckle's being reattached. It was all a show. Like, if there was any doubt, it was just a thing to, like, wow, that was crazy. Bet you're going to want to come back from the stay here during the commercial, you know, because there's a national title game going on where one team is murdering the other team. So you don't want to watch that. So that was a big thing. Sheamus hits the bro kick on Morrison for the pin to win. Sheamus Keith Lee and Sheamus are happy. They won. They're happy. It's good. We got a replays. Sheriff Schreiber, that's her name, I believe. Blonde, not Charlie Caruso. She asks Triple H now, "Hey, what about Randy's challenge?" He says Orton can't get it. You can't get it in your head about what legends should mean to him. If you want to call me out, see what I still got, then yes, I accept your challenge. And then he makes this face. So good commercial. We come back from commercial, and Sheamus and Keith Lee are beating each other up. I mean, like, if they were just friends, and now, like, it's a weird deal. Like, this worked before when they did it with Cesaro and Sheamus, but I mean, I don't know. Sheamus and Keith Lee have a really fun match. It's just two guys beating the hell out of each other. But again, this is Keith Lee and Sheamus just wrestled a full-length tag match against two other guys, and now they're fighting against each other because people are not available. they're just not. So Keith Lee wins. He hits the spirit bomb to win. And after the match, they have like a really violent hug. So are they a tag team now? Like, is what we've done with it is that everybody's got to have a ceiling. You know, we can't possibly have Keith Lee become a champion. He's not allowed to have a singles career. He's got to be a tag team. So we're gonna pair him up with Sheamus. I'm not opposed to them like gaining a measure of respect for each other after so many clashes against each other and on the same team as one another. But I feel like they don't have a whole lot in common. You know what I mean? But we'll see. This is just two single stars. They mash together to be a tag team, and they're baby faces now, so I guess the Hurt Business needs somebody to face, because we'll talk about this later. Kofi Kingston's out with a broken jaw. So who else is there for the Hurt Business to face on Raw other than the Lucha House Party? The answer is nobody, because they've broken up all their fucking tag teams. So I'd like to congratulate Keith Lee and Sheamus on winning the Raw tag titles sometime between now and Mania at the latest. They'll probably have, I don't know, 15 or 16 matches against Cedric and Shelton at some point. So they do a thing where they ask, Drew McIntyre basically accepts in a fairly long pre-recorded promo. They're trying to like figure out what they're going to do about how, remember how Bill came out and was like, Drew, who did nothing but actively respect legends through the entire Legends Night. Goldberg comes out and says, you've been disrespecting legends all night. That might not be what you said, but I know what you're thinking. So they had to try and walk all that shit back. And they did a pretty shoddy job of it. But anyway, long and short of it is Drew McIntyre accepts Bill's challenge. So provided that Drew McIntyre is well enough by the 31st, which if he's asymptomatic now, he probably will be. Then we'll be okay. And we'll have Drew versus Goldberg. And if Drew wins, he can move on to face whoever wins the Rumble or Elimination Chamber or whatever the fuck they're going to do. Fine. So Matt Riddle is backstage, basically just like, if he's a cartoon stoner, he's an alleged rapist, but he's also a cartoon stoner, and he's talking to the Lucha House Party. They end up wishing him well. They say, hey man, we hope you beat Lashley, because we hate the Hurt Business. Watch your back out there. And Matt Riddle goes, watch my back. How can I do that? I can't see my own back. I can't look over my shoulder, under my shoulder, through my legs. How do I watch my own back? Doo-doo-doo. I'm a stoner. And also, I am stupid. And also, I am an alleged rapist. Anyway, there's a match later that Riddle has versus Bobby Lashley. I think it's actually for the U.S. title, is it not? Yes, it is for the U.S. title. We'll talk about that later. So here's one match that doesn't have a double match. Xavier Woods versus T-Bar. Retribution is kind of all over the place. They beat up Ricochet so much that Ricochet is off television now. And Ricochet was basically like, they're like, we beat you up. Now you have to join our group. And he said, no. And they were like, okay, fine, I guess. Because that was 2 weeks ago, and we haven't heard shit about that since. So is that still going on? The whole Retribution, Mustafa Ali and Ricochet, is that still a thing? Are we still doing that? What's going on? Anyway, Kofi Kingston apparently has a broken jaw. They have not said how bad it is, how long he'll be out. Finn was out for quite a while with his broken jaw. I don't know Finn Balor in NXT. I have no idea what they're going to do with this. But I do remember that when they lost the titles at the pay-per-view at TLC, like, he tweeted out pictures of broken teeth that he had spit out. Like, he shattered one of his molars during that match. And I feel like if you shatter your molar, that's when you go and check out your jaw. But he's had matches since then. So maybe, like, the jaw was only fractured slightly, and then he caught a knee last week, I guess. Didn't they have a match? The New Day? Who'd they face? I forget. Like, who fucking knows? Everything bleeds together. But they had a match last week. Kofi Kingston had a match. Anyway, so he's out now for an indeterminate amount of time. And I guess it becomes like, Ricochet's not around, Xavier Woods is the next best thing. So anyway, he has a match versus T-Bar. T-Bar comes out with Mustafa Ali and Mace and Slapjack. And Reckoning. Slapjack is now like on a winning streak on Main Event. He beat Akira Tozawa last week, and spoiler alert, they taped last night for Main Event. This week, he beat Humberto Carrillo. Remember that guy? Remember Humberto Carrillo? Remember how they were like, this kid's the future? He lost to Slapjack on Main Event. I still think you should pair him with Dominic. I think those two guys could be dynamite together. I think you put Carrillo over on SmackDown and let Dominic and Humberto Carrillo team up under the tutelage of Rey Mysterio. Because let's just get Buddy Murphy out of that family for good. I mean, I it's, yeah. But yeah, Carrillo and Dominic taking the titles off of Rude and Ziggler at Mania, I think is what they're probably going to wind up doing. Not Carrillo. They're going to do Dominic and his old man, but I'd rather it be Dominic and Carrillo. Anyway, what was happening? Last week on Raw Talk, you might remember, Mustafa Ali had a live mic and was talking about how legends suck, and he was right, and everybody on Twitter said he was right. Legends are terrible. Why are they here? And Charlie Caruso, company woman Charlie Caruso, goes, well, I don't know. Didn't you hear the reaction they were getting? Really? And Mustafa Ali, to his credit, said, oh, yeah, they really pumped in the cheers for them, didn't they? Well, apparently, that didn't sit well. According to Ali's Twitter, there's been no real report, but he tweeted out a picture of himself from that segment on Raw Talk with the caption, we don't know if we can give you a live mic again. As though somebody told him in regards to what he had said, probably not about like the legends suck, because like that's just a heel being a heel, but pulling back the curtain to reveal something we all knew was the case, which is they're sweetening the crowd noise. Like we all know that. That's a thing you guys are doing, obviously. But they don't want us. They don't want to ever reveal that. So he did. So maybe they're like that. So, if that's the case and they don't want to let Mustafa Ali talk anymore, well then just fucking release the guy, let him go and be great elsewhere. Cause he's fucking great. He's in the prime of his career. He's amazing in the ring. He can sell like nobody's business. He's a God-given babyface. Somebody gave you a perfect baby face and you just said, let's turn him heel. You fucking idiots. He's doing a fine job at that too, but you guys don't know what the fuck you're doing. T-Bar beats Xavier Woods. Xavier runs into some problems with everybody at ringside, but not that bad. And T-Bar hits his finisher, which is the old Feast Your Eyes, but they're calling it the, what do they call it? Oh, now they have a new name for it, and I can't remember what it is, and it's going to drive me nuts. It's some cliche. Everything's a cliche, some turn of phrase or whatever. Eyes Wide Shut. That's what they called it. The Feast Your Eyes is now called the Eyes Wide Shut. That's fine. Knock the guy out with your knee after a weird, like, little attitude adjustment thing. It's fine. It's good. It's a fine name. Whatever. Now the T-Bar news is that he called out some teenage virgin on AEW for stealing his finisher. And everyone's like, that's Sammy Guevara, isn't it? Isn't it Sammy Guevara? But he never actually confirmed it. And then Sammy Guevara tweeted out like, I didn't steal that from you. You stole it from some other guy. By the way, I only started doing it so the move would be on TV. Ha ha ha. Cause you get it. Cause you're never on TV. And then, T-Bar, I'm going to quote this one cause it's so friggin' good. Come on. Where'd it go? Oh, that's too bad. He says something to the effect of there we go. He says, someone tell Panda Kid I had a singles match on TV last night and I didn't steal the move from some backyarder. I thought of it in a professional ring with this guy Kill4Nova. Try being creative sometime instead of making jokes about rape. Damn. So he went there and just decided to destroy him. Although Dax from FTR doesn't like Donovan Dijak for some reason and tweeted out something about, you know, why bad. And then T-Bar's like, I never understood why he didn't like me. Like, it was a really odd little thing from it was weird. I don't know. It was just a weird, Yeah. It's a weird little, like, sad little moment. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, T-Bar was like, yeah, I never understood why you never liked me. Like, you seemed like a decent enough guy, and I was always very complimentary to you. I was like you. I always said nice things about your matches. But anyway, good luck and be well. So really, really odd. Like, you could tell, like, him not being liked by Dax Harwood, by Scott Dawson. You could tell that he didn't know what the deal was with that, and it kind of hurt him because it was somebody that he looked up to and respected. So yeah, that's too bad. Anyway. Jesus, I don't know. Yeah. Instead of making jokes about rape, god damn. I don't know. Anyway, so after that, after T-Bar beat Woods, there's nothing. There's not like, hey, join us now. Big E's on SmackDown and Kofi's out with a jaw injury. We demand that you join our group, Xavier Woods. What if Xavier Woods is like, yeah, well, why not? I'm not doing anything else right now. So they're not going to do King of the Ring anytime soon. Sure. That'd be cool. I mean, why not? I don't know. It is some stupid interview with Randy Orton. I don't know. Who cares? So Bobby Lashley versus Matt Riddle is a fucking squash. Bobby Lashley beats the fuck out of Matt Riddle, and it's honestly, it was so cathartic. Just beats the fuck out of him. And he's putting him in the Hurt Lock, and he taps out vigorously with both hands. And so he lost his United States title shot. Lashley stands tall. MVP brings in the title and gives it to Lashley. MVP kicks at Riddle while he's down. MVP and Lashley head up the ramp, and then Riddle gets on the mic and says, maybe I could beat Bobby Lashley tonight, but I could beat you, MVP! Like, oh wait, so you lost your match versus the United States champion, but I mean, I would hope so, but I don't know what that even proves. That's so weird. So Matt Riddle versus MVP, but MVP is wearing slacks and a dress shirt and dress shoes. He did not come to in his working clothes. Like Riddle is beating him, but it's, again, a semi-manager who's not dressed to have a match. So I would hope he could beat him. He's just like a really sore loser. Yeah, I might have lost to the United States champion, but I can sure beat his manager. Okay. What does that prove? Did they ever do that back in the day? Yeah, I might have lost to you, Hulk Hogan, but I can sure as hell beat the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Well, okay. Yeah, probably. Anyway, see you later, kid. What does that even prove? It's so weird. What a weird thing to have the guy you want us to root for say. I am such a sore loser. I demand another match. Not with you, the guy who just beat the fuck out of me. With your manager. I mean, go ahead, MVP, like taking him up on the match when he obviously wasn't in the right clothes for it. Lashley, the thing ends when Riddle he punches Lashley when Lashley's just standing around at ringside. So Lashley hits a floating bro, this little top rope move, but Riddle gets up and Lashley hits a big spear out of nowhere for the DQ, but like Riddle started it. Like it was a whatever. Lashley beats the fuck out of Riddle afterwards. They took turns beating the fuck out of him. MVP was a huge punt kick to the ribs of Riddle. Fans boo because they pump in the noise for the crowd. So they decided that the fans boo. Like I wouldn't boo. I mean I know I don't like Matt Riddle anymore, but I wouldn't boo if I did like Matt Riddle. I wouldn't boo Bobby Lashley and MVP beating him up. Riddle lost fair and square, clean. There was nothing that happened in the match to Lashley, as far as I can remember, was a cheating. He just lost. And he's like, I'm a sore loser. Give me another match, not against you, against the other guy. What kind of a chump move is that? Why would I boo the guy beating him up as a comeuppance? So anyway, well, they're promoting the fact that Adam Pearce is now the number one contender to Roman Reigns. So Pearce is backstage talking to AJ Styles because Pearce is on both shows. He's so funny. AJ's like, I wonder who could possibly toss me from inside the Royal Rumble ring when I have, this is how, remember this from last week. It was Omos Forever, then it was Amos all last week. Then AJ called him Omos. Later, Byron Saxton calls him Amos. Like, you guys got to pick one. Like, he's not all the things. He's not Omos, Amos, Omos, and Amos. I don't know which one he is, but you got to pick one. Who can toss me out of the ring when there's a guy standing outside the ring? Do you mean he's going to catch you? Like, they're definitely going to do that spot at least once. But I don't feel like they're not going to be able to do it every time. Hey, AJ says, maybe if you get lucky, you can beat Reigns for the title at Royal Rumble, and I'll win the Royal Rumble, and then it'll be you versus me at Mania. So AJ is declared for the Royal Rumble, right? Drew Gulak walks up and says, I would like to declare for the Royal Rumble. Ideally, I would like to come in at number 30, which I thought was very funny. And Pierce is like, wait a minute. You can't just declare for the Royal Rumble. And Drew Gulak rightly says, well, this guy just did. Like, either you can declare for the Royal Rumble or you can't. Pick one. Or you have 12 spots that go automatically to the current guys who aren't defending their titles at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Like, if the IC title holder doesn't have a match for the IC title at the Royal Rumble, then he can be in it, right? And then former WWE or Universal Champions get a pass in, right? And then everybody else has to earn their way, which is fine. I understand why AJ gets in it. But other people don't just automatically get in it. Fine. But it was very odd that we're like, AJ's like, I'm in it. And Drew says, me too. And Pierce is like, not so fast, young Drew. Sorry. AJ says, I'm a two-time WWE champion. Who have you beaten? And I wanted Drew to say, well, I was the Cruiserweight champ for a pretty long time. I mean, I know that doesn't really matter anymore, but I was. But he didn't say that. I bought a flash drive with a list of all my victories on it. Pierce is like, whatever. You can have a Rumble spot if you can beat AJ. So I don't feel like there's no reason why they couldn't have had Drew Gulak win this match versus AJ. AJ's bulletproof. Him losing via some kind of roll-up wouldn't have been a big deal. I would have hated a roll-up, but at least it would have gotten Drew Gulak in the match. And then, like, you could have, like, Amos. Umos could have, like, chased him around the building for like 3 weeks until the Royal Rumble. Like, every time Raw, like, Gulak hates him and just chases him all over the ring, all over the backstage arena all the time. We can do that. Hey, you know what wasn't on Raw last night and was the Raw was so much better for it? I mean, Raw still sucked, don't get me wrong, but it was really nice not to have to see it. There was no 24/7 title bullshit. There wasn't any. None of it. It was just gone. It wasn't there because Truth had the night off, I guess. But it was so nice to not have any of that bullshit on the show. Let's get rid of it forever. Cool. AJ beats Gulak. Mostly because Gulak winds up face down on the floor. He flips Gulak over the top rope. And Gulak is like laying on the floor face down, and then the camera's like right in his face, but then Umos, his boot steps right between Gulak and the camera. And Gulak is so afraid of the sight of a large foot that he loses. He's catatonic with fear at the size of a large man's foot. So AJ comes out, grabs him, rolls him into the ring, hits a phenomenal forearm, and wins. That's it. Then they do like a big, long, like a 4-minute video package of Goldberg going back as far as 1997. Like, he's not the same guy anymore. They have like Bischoff talking about how awesome he was in the late 90s. And like, yeah, he was. It was 30 fucking years ago. You know? Guys? Holy shit. There's a whole match that I missed. I skipped it. I'm sorry. I have no... What happened? What happened? I'm going to have to read this. I didn't even watch this part. I thought I had seen everything because I was skipping around. I guess Shayna and Nia beat Dana and Mandy Rose. Baszler tagged herself in and hit the Kurifuda clutch on Rose. Jax did not like Baszler tagging herself in. And so now there's dissension in the ranks. So they did have a women's match later on the show. I apologize. I did not watch this. I'm sure it sucked. I mean, everything sucks, but I had no idea. You know why? It's because I watched, as I always do, the Hulu version of Raw, where it's edited down to an hour 30, right? And there's another segment here where Triple H is backstage warming up, and Keith Lee comes up. I really like this scene. Keith Lee comes up, and he says, listen, I got to talk to you, okay? Orton's really dangerous. You know this, but like you, ever since I got here, you've stuck up for me. You looked out for me. I'm gonna look out for you. One, I know I've already had two matches tonight. I have no problem going back in there and taking on Randy Orton in your stead. And Triple H says, I appreciate that, but it's something I got to do myself. And Lee says, fine. So he gives Triple H his leather jacket, which he puts on, and they go to commercial. Now, I watched the Hulu. Then, of course, in the Hulu edit, they cut out the Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke thing because why wouldn't you? They go right from Triple H walking out, like putting on the leather jacket, to him walking out down to the ramp, right, to start the match. So then I always go back through and watch the full Raw, just skipping all the parts I've already seen and watching whatever's left. Because usually it's like less than an hour if you cut all the commercials. And they got to the point where Triple H put on his jacket. And I was like, all right, I guess I've seen everything that happened on Raw. What with my watching the entire Hulu edit and now the DVR'd version that I have. Triple H has put on his jacket. I've done my job. Time to go down and do the podcast. But apparently I missed what I'm sure was a scintillating, riveting match between Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler and Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. So, Triple H versus Randy Orton is a thing that happens. It's not a match. It's a fight. Triple H is wearing like jeans and a t-shirt. He's got his hands taped. So, it was his first match since July of 2019. That's a long fucking time ago. But Orton and Triple H do a very slow, methodical, brutally paced brawl all around the wing, all around the ring. It's I mean, like it's I understand. Triple H up until yesterday did not think he was getting back in the ring. So they didn't have like a whole match to lay out. So it's just, you know, two old friends doing a little brawl. That's fine. But for fans who thought they were tuning in to watch Triple H wrestle, I feel bad for you because it was just two old men. Randy definitely moving as slowly as an old man, just plodding around the ring. Let's punch me. Okay, I'll punch you. Hey, you. How about I punch you now? Okay, you punch me. Oh, I'm gonna throw you into the ring steps. Oh yes. Oh, I'm gonna drop you on the announce table. Oh, cool. And it was just whatever. You know what I mean? Didn't really nothing happened. It was like 5 minutes of nothing. And so Triple H rolls Orton back on into the ring after dropping him on the announce table. He stops to grab his trusty sledgehammer from under the ring. Triple H walks back up the steps, but then the lights start to go out with like the Fiend noise, right? So it looks like the Fiend might be here. Orton is like, oh, the Fiend might be here. Hey, everybody, the Fiend might be here. Triple H, this is all very heavily edited. Triple H raises his sledgehammer up, and the end of it is on fire. How did that happen? What happened? So all the lights are all the way down, right? And just although the only thing lighting the place is the sledgehammer, which is on fire, which is a nice touch. Then all the lights go out. The fire the fire goes out of the sledgehammer. The lights come back up, and it's all the pink and red lights. You know, Triple H has vanished. He has vanished into thin air, and now I need to know. You did this, WWE. I want so badly. Can you please? Like, no, they're never going to do this, but I wish they were smart enough to be like, to do something really, really clever. You know? Where Triple H wakes up and he's sitting on a couch and he's like, where the hell am I? And then John Cena walks in from the other room and hands him a beer and says, man, it's been so lonely here. Or something. You know what I mean? I've been here since April. Sit down, man. We got a lot to catch up on. Because that's what happens when he winked Triple H out of existence the same way he did to John Cena. Now John Cena and Triple H are roommates in the Phantom Zone, and I need at least an 8-episode arc of a WWE Network series. Like, it would be so great if WWE didn't take themselves so seriously and could do something fun like that. To do like a 3-minute sketch of Triple H showing up in the Phantom Zone where John Cena now lives because Bray Wyatt made them vanish. I don't know. Or Triple H wakes up and he's in Southpaw Regional Wrestling. That'd be fun. Anyway, Triple H is gone. And then it's some weird like mashup of the Firefly Funhouse theme thing. Orton turns around and Bliss is standing in the corner. Just standing there watching him. And she's got her little gloves on, like where Play and Pain are written on the heels of her gloves. So she brings up the Pain glove, puts it under her chin. I don't know, just standing there. And then she does a fucking Hadouken. Well, not really a Hadouken, because it's actual fire. Because the Hadouken is blue flame, right? From Street Fighter. She shoots a ball of fire out of her hand. Just kidding. It's a Roman candle. She shoots a Roman candle of flame slightly in the direction of Orton. Like, it goes directly over his left shoulder. It's nowhere near him. But you wouldn't know this from watching the broadcast because they do, like, you know, they do their crazy cuts and everything, zooms and whatnot. But apparently it's supposed to have hit Randy in the face. And he falls down and screams. Randy Orton might be blind, said Byron Saxton. He's writhing in pain and backs up into the corner and decides at one point he almost gets out of the ring, but then doesn't. I don't understand what that was supposed to do. But you know what she does? She didn't do the Hadouken. She did the old Dalsim. Yoga fire, yoga fire, yoga fire. Remember that? Yoga fire. She's Dalsim with these shoots the fireballs. You know, the guy with the really long arms. I'm too old. That's it. So last week, Legends Week, they didn't do anything to follow up on the whole, did Orton burn Alexa Bliss alive? Except for he was like, I didn't do it, but I wish I had. And now Alexa's back. She had the week off, I guess. But she's back, and she uses sleight of hand to throw a fireball in the general vicinity of Orton. Because they released a still shot of her shooting the fireball at him, and you can clearly see the implement in her hand that she shot it out of, and also clearly see that the fireball came nowhere near Randy Orton, actually. Like, it was at least a couple of feet to his left. Why release that still shot? Why would you be mad at Mustafa Ali for pointing out something we all know is true, that you sweetened the audio on the crowd with obviously canned crowd noise and crowd chants? We all know that. He said it out loud, and you're mad at him. But then you do this thing with sleight of hand and editing to make it seem as though Alexa Bliss shot a fireball out of her palm directly into Orton's eyes. But then you yourself release a still image of that showing that it's totally fake. And you do that yourself. You can't get mad at one of your performers for ruining the illusion when you do it yourself later, the next week, whatever. So that was Raw and SmackDown. So I don't normally do this, but I thought I would start something ish about stuff that doesn't suck, because we all need it. I don't know how everybody else is doing in the rest of the world, but in America, it fucking sucks. There's some serious shit that is wrong in our country, and it permeates pretty much everything, as far as I can tell. So I'm going to try to figure out at least once a week, come up with something that doesn't suck. Something that lifts my spirits. And it's this. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to the trend going around with on the old TikTok. But it's permeated into the other social medias as well. Of the sea shanties, in particular the one called the Wellerman, where one guy did like this old three track of himself singing the Wellerman. This is an old sea shanty. They would say the sailors would sing, 200 years ago, or whatever. And he released it, and people really liked it. And so they were like, they added their own tracks. Like, there was the one that went around for a long time was, it was like this one guy added an amazing bass piece to it, like added his own bass track to it. And then two other guys added like backing bass. And one guy added like this really nice baritone for like this rich, full bodied sound. And then just the four of these guys all layered in over top of each other sounded just beautiful. It's a minute long. It's like, but it sounds just amazing. And then there's other ones added in female vocal tracks, and this one woman added this gorgeous violin to it. And I was watching it thinking to myself, that the pandemic thing has sucked. We don't like so many of us are trying to be smart and good and not leaving our house unless we need to, not traveling, not going to visit friends or family, stuck at home with our internet connections. But this has made us, in effect, as close to people on the other side of the planet as it has made us to people who are down the street. Because we can't leave our homes and we're not going out and visiting people. The internet's the internet, man. It's everywhere. So these people from all over the world have collaborated together to create this amazing sound. Like, it's this thing that I found the other day and I just can't stop listening to it. It makes me feel good. Do you know how rare that is fucking right now? To have something that I can put on a minute long track and makes me feel good? That's amazing. And these people don't know each other. They just found the common thing to all put together. These people were able to come together in a horrible time to create something beautiful that they probably never would have if we weren't in this particular kind of thing, because the guy who released the original track maybe would have gone down to play with some other musicians and they would have done it in their own garage and that would have been it. And these other people wouldn't have found that guy doing the original sea shanty. They would have added their own tracks to it. And they all came together to create this amazing thing. And it's this weird little microcosm of like how we all need to work together to create something beautiful, you know, on TikTok or in the world, to make the world a better place. And I know that's sappy and a weird thing to do on a podcast where I yell curses about bad WWE booking. But it's a weird thing to be able to find something in this day and age, in these crazy times, in these topsy-turvy times, that people were able to come together and find a common purpose just to materialize beauty out of thin fucking air. So, I'm sure you can find it. I think I've tweeted out something about it. If not, it's out there. The sea shanties of TikTok. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know where we're going to be this time on tomorrow when we talk about NXT and AEW, or by Saturday when I talk about SmackDown, or good Lord, by this time on Tuesday next week, I don't know where we're going to be, but love you guys. Stay safe out there. Seriously, stay safe out there. There's some absolute fucking lunacy going on in the world. So it's always nice to be able to find beauty where you can and indulge in it, even for a TikTok. Because, as we always say, even when there is beauty in the world, materialized out of thin fucking air, even then, everything sucks.